And perhaps you could turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 4. First epistle of John and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord our Father. We have sung and here we are. So looking to you to help us that we can hear and to understand your word, that we might appreciate your presence, that we might wonderfully exercise that relationship we're to have that honors you and brings to our heart all of your wonderful life. And so, our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can look in the light of God's word to where we were in our exercise of 1 John and chapter 4. And we were reminding ourselves that we have a very unique relationship to God. And that relationship to God is summed up in very simple language. And thus you have it in chapter 4. And may I go just to review myself for us. Review. Chapter 4, verse 15. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. This love, I'm reading chapter 4. And we know, verse 16, and we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And we have it going up, just take verse 13. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given to us his Spirit. So God, it's a unique being saved, being a believer, involves what? You have received God into the heart, in your heart, and God has received you into his heart. It's a unique, simple, wonderful relationship that we are to exercise and we are to enjoy in a most wonderful way. And perhaps since we did it in Sunday school, just to remind you, I can say the relationship for those that weren't here for Sunday school. When you get saved and know the Lord is your Savior, here we are, we need to get saved. We're dead, we're separated from God. We're born spiritually dead. So we need to know him, we're dead. We need to have life. And so when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you receive the Lord into your heart, and thus God dwelleth in you, and you dwelleth in God. You dwell in God, God dwelleth in you, and you dwell in God. Relationship. Can't be simpler. And it has to be, because that's how we were made, in his image and likeness, to be able to enjoy him in a marvelous way. So we're to have this unique relationship. Simple, simple. You have a relationship to your body, and you live inside of this shell. You live inside this body. When you receive Christ, Christ lives inside of you. As the body, that's your old nature you have, but now you have a relationship. When you receive him as your Savior, you have a relationship to God. He dwelleth in you, and you dwell in him. The word dwell is the word abide, to abide like the tree and the branches. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, it's a relationship, simple, wonderful, real. You enjoy being in your body. If I took away your body, you couldn't enjoy it. And to begin to see that, if I took away your eyesight, and your hearing. You're still in the body, but you're missing something. You're missing. If I took away your whole body, you're missing able to enjoy us. You couldn't. Your earthly equipment is gone. So you need to have a unique relationship to God. It's a wonderful, simple thing. That's what you have to have. We need the body for physical life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ for spiritual life. Now, and therefore, in the love, you have to be in the love. God. God is love. Verse 17, we shared together. Herein is our love, made perfect, complete, full, wanting nothing. You come to a sentence, put a period, no more. It's finished. Finished. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect in love. What for? That, made perfect, complete, finished. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because he, as he is, so are we in this world. So, and we share together, that when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God saves us. And when you get saved, you're saved. You don't get more saved. You're saved. Period. That's the way it is. The way it is. You're saved. And to lock that in, we're coming back here, going back over to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in the light of it, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And therefore, he that believeth on him is not condemned, judged. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He stands condemned. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, we don't want to have to stand in the light and be exposed in our nakedness, having no life, being dead in sins. Therefore, sliding over if I can, chapter 5. And there's no condemnation. It's all done. Finished. The day you got saved and came to know the Lord as your Savior. Chapter 5, as you would know, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, amen, amen. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Again, the end of the verse, not going to come into condemnation. We just read it in John chapter 3. You're not condemned. God was condemned. He died. He took our place on Calvary's cross. Shall not be come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. When did that happen? The moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in God's most wonderful, wonderful way. And you believed. And God did what? He saved you. He saved you perfectly, completely, so that he took your old nature, and which is, this is sin. The wages of sin is death. Christ died and took our sin in his own body in the tree, that we might be able to have his righteousness. Now, so when we receive Christ as our Savior, God did what? He saves us perfectly. So when are you fully, wonderfully saved? When you believed. It's perfected. That's important to keep in mind. You're saved. You can't be more saved. You're saved. Now, this is your old nature. God condemned. No flesh shall glory in my presence. So this old nature, never, never, never can be looked to in your life of God, because it's dead. Reckon yourself dead. He isn't interested in your intellect, your background, anything else. That's part of your old nature. So you have to be careful. As a believer, you're trying to understand God by your old nature, and you're trusting your old nature. Now, we understand that because we're pride, and we did all that in Sunday school. Now, having said that, but we are not to do that. Don't you know that's what 1 John's about? The world's trying to tell us that we need to trust our old nature to understand our new nature. In order to enjoy God, you got to enjoy yourself. So you got to practice yourself. No, no. 1 John is saying to you, reckon it dead. Don't you understand? The world wants you, your old nature wants you, pride wants you to be trusting itself. It doesn't want to die. It doesn't want to be dead. It doesn't want to be condemned. It loves darkness rather than light. It isn't interested. What's the good? God said, listen, I've finished. It's done. Done, buried, the gospel. I buried it. It's done. It's still there. Right. It's still there. But you're what? You're going to reckon. It's dead. It's dead. Romans 6, you know all that. 6. What are you going to do? You're going to reckon. Do it. Romans 6. We're sidetracked, but so. Romans chapter 6. What are we supposed to understand? Here's our old nature. Here it is. It's there. And Christ said, reckon it dead. I crucified. I paid the price so that you could have a unique relationship to who I am. Romans chapter 6, I'll read verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For reason, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be like also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, that's what we're holding up, your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. God took care of that old body, the word destroyed, to cut. Here we are. You have to understand, your old nature is there, and your old nature is there, and you're free, you're caught to it. Caught. Here I am, my old nature. And my old nature's there. I'm never free of it. 24 hours a day, I have to live with me. So do you. Live with yourself. Don't you? You have no freedom. As long as you're in this body, you live with your old nature. And your old nature doesn't go away. You get saved. You're saved. There's your old nature. Now, God, what did you do? If you crucified us and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we believe and receive you as your Savior, our heart stops beating and we die. That's good. We didn't have to spend any time. We got victory. We're finished. But God doesn't do that. So when you get saved, you still got the old nature. God didn't say, this has disappeared. What he said was, verse 6, I've set you free. This old nature does not control God's wonderful presence in your life. So this old nature does not control it. You're freed. The chain is cut. I didn't get rid of this yet. 1 Corinthians 15, no flesh shall glory in my presence, here or forever. And therefore, we need to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We need to be changed. Your old nature is there. Your old nature doesn't have a say. God sets you free from your old nature. He didn't get rid of your old nature. He broke the chain. You were chained like this. I can't get rid of it. No. When God saved you, he set you free. Your old nature's still there. Still there. But you're free. Like we shared. And you have to choose. You have the right to choose. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. I have to choose. My old nature, am I going to trust God? And I'm constantly understanding, don't trust your old nature. Period. You're trusting God in his wonderful presence. All of that happened the moment you got saved. You're free. You got the old nature still, but you're freed from it. And Christ set you free. It's still there. But he set you free. Now, you didn't get rid of it. He set you free. Same, turn a page over to Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you will also become dead, D-E-A, dead to the law, by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit, think of Galatians 5, fruit unto God, fruit unto God. Be fruitful like the branch in the abiding. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were in by the law, did work in our members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, to bring forth fruit unto death. All we did is show our dead. We're dead, we're dead. Verse 6, but now you are delivered, rescued from the law, that by being dead, wherein you were held, that we should serve in newness of life and not in the oldness of the letter. Christ took and died. We died. And God said, reckon this dead. It's there. You're freed from it. You're not a slave to your old nature at all. You're freed. You don't have to do that anymore. You can trust God and look to God with thanksgiving, all those things we did in Sunday school. You can look to God with thanksgiving, and you're freed. Period. Now, since Romans, back over to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, if I may, we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, perfected. When did that happen? The moment you got saved. You don't have any more of it. If you live 20 more years, it won't be any more. You're either in, Christ is either in your heart or he isn't. There's no, God isn't doing this in and out. That makes you saved. And you look to God and does what he does, as only he can do it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you have boldness. Verse 17, as we shared, boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because in the day of judgment, what do we know? We shared that last time and have to do at least that part. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as you would remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and God's help us. Up again. And you'll remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the judgment seat of Christ, which is what you're talking about in verse 17 of chapter 4, 1 John. So here's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the judgment seat of Christ for believers. And if any man build upon the foundation, gold, we've got to read verse 11 for context. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And the fire shall be tried, put to the trial, test, every man's work of what kind it is. If it's of the flesh, wood, hay, and stubble. If it's of the Spirit of God, gold, silver, precious stones. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In other words, you gain the benefit. I'll say it another way that may help you. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God has a wonderful plan. Before you were ever created, in the mind of God, he saw you as a saved person. He's going to save you. Now going to go and die on the cross as a saved person. And God has a wonderful place and plan in the program of God for you to belong, for you to find your home, to be part of it in God's plan. He saw all of that before you were ever born. When you come to the Lord as your Savior, you step into that plan. You step into that movement. And God, what are you going to do? Every man's work should be judged for what? What he had planned for your life. What he had planned for your life. And if you left him out, you're going to be saved just by fire. But if you included him, like we just tried to share with you, trusting God, then it's all what? Adding up. God's outworking his wonderful life in your life. That's what he's outworking. That's what he's doing. If you goof, you miss the whole thing. Say, oh, I've been saved 25 years, haven't done anything. Well, then you got 25 years of nothing. How's that? You haven't got anything. But now you're going to what? You're looking to God to work. That's right. And God's waiting to do so. So therefore, how can he do so? Because you're saved. You're not more saved. You're not trying to be saved. You are saved. That's why it's perfected. If you received him as your Savior, you can't, there's no more condemnation. To add to that, 1 Corinthians, and if I can, in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you will notice, 1 Corinthians 11, if I can, and sliding if I can, verse 29 for communion. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For, this cause many are sick and weakly among you, and many sleep. For, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we're our own jury, we're our own judge. Then what are we doing? That's sin. That's why you have in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what you're doing. And if you do it, you're done. Why? 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you. So if you confess your sin, you got your hands dirty, you're going to sink and soap, wash them. Are they dirty? No, I just washed them. As I goof and do dumb things, that I have to say, God, I should have done that, said that, etc. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. It's done. I don't have to wait 5 seconds. It's done. Because, don't you understand?
You're already perfected. God condemned it. He isn't going to do anything anymore. So don't keep trying to use this and try to excuse and try to analyze. Should I be forgiven? Should I be not forgiven? You know, all that stuff. Don't do that. If God saved you, then what are you going to do? You're going to go, what? Let me finish reading. I'll get lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But what's the difference? When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned. 1 John 3, we just read 1 John 5, don't be condemned. There's no condemnation. That's why you judge yourself. Because God said, I have a wonder, you're my child, you belong to God, you're a child of God, a son of God, a believer, and you need to enjoy that relationship. That's what you need to do. It isn't going to be more. You just need to exercise it. It's finished. It's finished. So therefore, come the judgment seat of Christ, I have boldness. I'm not going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Woe is me. Like in Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment. It's not that. No. No. No, you don't you understand? God's finished it. You're saved. Thus, 1 Corinthians, go back over to chapter 3 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, wood, hay, stubble, that God, you lost that. You wasted all those years. You didn't have to use all those years. Why not catch them? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. He has to be saved because God saved him. It's finished. Not anymore. So you should be have what? You should have a wonderful boldness. 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 On your way back to John, stop at Hebrews. If you can. In chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. As you did, as we did, as you know. Hebrews in chapter 4. Picking up if I can. And in chapter 4, may I go directly, if I can, verse 15. 4:15 Hebrews. 4:15 Hebrews. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, tested, put on trial, like as we are, to bear every kind of problem a human can have, and yet without sin. Let us therefore, since Christ finished the job and covered every base, so if we confess our sin, he already covered that. If we confess your sin, he already covered that sin. He already did that. He covered everything. He covered all of it. So that what? We have boldness. When? The boldness, the minute after you come to know the Lord as your Savior, boldness. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why. It's done. And you ought to have a wonderful freedom, not caught up in your old nature, which is everyone's telling you, you got to get into this, you got to do this to get saved, you got to do your works, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to follow our little rule, follow our thinking. No, I don't follow anyone's thinking. I want to follow what God said. On rest. We're resting in his life. Not in anything human. Any human thoughts. We aren't resting in human thoughts. We're resting in God's thinking. Not man's thinking. And I don't care if they're head of a big seminary or anything else. You're resting in God's thinking. And we shared it the other day. It's not Calvin. It's not Luther. God bless all those men. It's not them. You're resting in God's thinking. That's finished. Therefore, come boldly and over to chapter 9 on your way. Chapter 9. When we think of it, one leads to the other. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 24 again. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. It isn't something we're doing, which are the figures of the true, but unto enter heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, to appear, to be in the presence of God, to be before God, he's there in his perfect humanity, there on our behalf. So we can come boldly to the throne of grace. He's already there on my behalf and your behalf. Can I get there? Absolutely, because he's saved you. It's a finished thing, finished. Therefore, chapter 10. And chapter 10, verse 18. Now where remission of sin, of these is forgiveness, there is no more offering for sin. It's finished. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, there's your little word, bold, free, frank, fearless, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Back over to 1 John. We have wonderful boldness. That's what we're to have. And we're to have it as we are, as, and I pick it up in verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17, 1 John. Herein is our love made perfect. Why? That we may have boldness. When? In the day of judgment. How so? Because, reason, as he is, so are we in this world. Not as he was, as he is. He's at the Hebrews 9, 24. He's there in his perfect resurrected body before the throne of grace, before God. As he is there, I am here. That's why I come boldly to the throne of grace, because he's there. And because he's there, I'm there. Boldness in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? It's finished. You aren't going to get more of it. That's what louses us up. We get saved. Oh, I think I'll try to be a Christian. What does it involve being Christian? Oh, you go to church, give a lot of money, and do everything. No. Being a Christian is to understand. First called Christians in Antioch. Christ, because Christ was in them. They were Christ people. Christ in you. You're all Christians. That's what you are. That's how they saw him. Not churchgoers. You belong to Christ. You bet your boots. Therefore, back over if I can, verse John. And we have boldness because as he is, so are we in this world. So now, verse 18, there is no fear in love. Fear is not in love. Does not exist. Fear does not exist in love. It's finished. When you received him, the fear of death, Hebrews 2, the power, the chief sin, the fear of death. Christ died for you and gave you his life. You have his life. You have his wonderful, wonderful life. And therefore, there is no fear. Now this fear, positive fear, brings us closer. We draw near to God because we rightly fear God. When we rightly fear God, we draw near to God. It changes our character and our conduct. It changes us. But if I have no fear of God, and I have to think about God, I have a fear because I'm not ready to meet God. I'm not ready for judgment. I'm not ready for God. So I'm going to get religious and get some religious stuff in me so that I don't have to think about it, so the religion can think about it. The group, whatever I belong to, can then be my mediator before God. I'm a whatever I am, Mormon, other all kinds of things, Catholic, whatever I am. Because I don't want to say I'm Catholic. I'm a Catholic, see. Catholic can help me. That's a joke. Not no joke. Do you understand? It isn't. No one's going to help you. You're already free. There is, let me keep reading it. You'll see it. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, we've just been doing that, perfect love casts out fear. There is no more fear. You got saved. God wonderfully saved you. When is he saving you now? How much is he saving you now? Saved, saved, saved forever in God's wonderful grace. I can't get more saved. I have you, God. You died on the cross for my sin, so I'm freed. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. Torment. Awesome, awesome torment it has. Now, and keeping that in mind, so the fear that has torment to it, and we're looking on understanding torment, sliding over if I can. In the light of that, over to the Gospel of Matthew, if I may. And picking up Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. And looking at it, chapter 25, I'm sliding down now. I'll read a little bit of background. Verse 43. I was a stranger and you took me in, took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered? Or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee, Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not as unto me, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. Do you see the word punishment? That's the word torment in 1 John 4 and 18. Punishment. Punishment. There is no more punishment. We're saved. Christ is finished. There is no fear, if you understand. To stand before God, that's why we look. Otherwise you'd be what? Think of all the places God tells us. What are we looking for? We're waiting, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. We're waiting for the Lord out of heaven to go home. I don't want to go home yet. Well, I haven't done very much. I haven't done very good. I don't want to go home yet. I don't have that. That's wrong. I want to go home. It's finished. God has done what? God has saved me. And there is no punishment. And there is no dread. There is no fear of judgment. Why? Because it's for my benefit, so that God gets rid of all the junk than I may have done in all the years of my life as a believer. God gets rid of all that junk and makes it so I don't have it anymore. I'm clean, clean for God's everlasting everness. I'm free to be clean. There is no punishment. There is no fear. I'm looking to go home. Otherwise, we're believers in fear, and you don't want to have the Lord come to you yet. No, we haven't done whatever. We don't want to face him. Something's wrong with that when you do that. Something's wrong. We don't want to have to go home yet. No, not yet. I just bought a new car. I don't want to go home yet, you see. You look forward to going home. You want to go home. Why? As he is, so am I now. So are you. As he is there, and I in the same position, saved completely by God's grace. I'm there. Now, having said that, let me keep going. Wake him. And over picking up in that in mind, over to, and you'll see it again in Peter, etc. Punishment. The word punishment. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. And just think of that, if I can. Where did chapter 4 go to? In chapter 4. And so, God, what are we going to do? You're going to go and do a wonderful thing for us. You're going to go and help us in every way. For what? Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He may not be saved. He may not be saved. Because why? When you get saved, you're saved. You can't be in and out. In and out. Back to the Methodist Nazarene, all that stuff. Got to keep going down the aisle and get saved again. Got to confess your sin and get saved again. And I suppose if you hit the right day when you die, you've confessed your sin and got saved. I'm just kidding. Now, got the idea. So now, so therefore, God, the love is made perfect in your most wonderful way. So here we are looking to God, and God's going to do what he does, as only he can do, as only he can do it. So therefore, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. That's why. We didn't initiate any of this. We didn't think about it. We didn't design it. We don't even understand it. But God has done it. And we love him because he first loved us. As you would slide over, as you know. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So we're looking to God. The unsaved heart isn't going to find that. You can't find it. You have to be saved. You have to be saved and look to God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. So when we're looking to God, he's going to do what he does, as only he can do it. And God says, what? I want you to be able to enjoy, have an experience. I want you to have the wonderful experience of being saved. I'm going to have to discipline, chasten. I'm going to help you grow and know. And you're going to have to know and grow and go through it. But in the process of falling down, get up again, get depressed, press on. When you go down, you know, like I shared the other day, when you fall down, don't stay down. I'm down, I'm down. Mentally, spiritually down, I'm down, I'm down. Down. Don't do that. As quick as you can, don't linger, because the longer you linger, the more you linger. The longer you wait, the longer you wait. So what are you going to do? Get up. Fall down? Get up. Get up. How are you going to get rid of depression? get up and get on with it. That's how it's going. You want to get rid of it? Move on. Otherwise, you sit there. And the longer you sit there, it'll keep growing. And your body gets, and your mind changes. Mind changes. Boy, I can't get up. I wait. And I say, I can't get up. And I waited 5 minutes. I can't get up. I can't get another. Don't use. I understand you can fall down and get hurt. I understand that. Just an illustration. If I don't get up, I keep understanding I'm down. And I mentally, I'm mentally weakening myself. My body could get up, but my mind is going to stay down. And as long as my mind's working, my strength is gone. You understand? And therefore, God, what are you going to do for us? So therefore, let me just take it by again. And we didn't get a little, I'm sorry I wandered a bit, but I hope you got to see. I'm trying to get this to understand. Otherwise, this is super simple. Super simple information about life that works. And you have to have it. Otherwise, you're just getting information. I could say boldness, you have boldness before the throne, judgment seat of Christ. Boldness, judgment seat of Christ. Well, why do I have boldness? That's what I want to know. Because I don't think it, I don't feel it. So I'd ask myself, well, what on earth do I have boldness? What boldness for? I have boldness because Christ died and has given me his life. And I already have it. I also have an old nature that's against it. But I choose. I choose God. I have a right. I have a right to understand I'm free. I'm not a slave to this old nature anymore. I'm free. It's still there. I choose you, God. I choose what you said. Whatever you do in word or deed, do what is unto me. Thank you, God. Now, so therefore in closing, or I can't, 1 John, and let's just see it. So you see it. 1 John chapter 3, 24. 3 and 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. It's that. Dwelleth in him, and God in him. So you have a relationship, God in you, and you in God. Hereby we know that he abideth in us, because the Spirit of God confirms it. Sliding over verse chapter 4, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. We love one another. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. That's pretty clear. It's a relationship. That's what it's all about. It's a simple, wonderful, you got saved in a wonderful way. But don't, the old nature, God said, I'm finished. Don't keep using your reason to understand the scriptures. Look to me. To you, you got reason. You have taste buds, hearing, stomach digestive system, you get all of that. All of that. The digestive system, the old nature uses it, doesn't it? Now that you're saved, does the believer use the digestive system? Isn't it the same digestive system? The digestive system isn't sin. Your eyes aren't sin. Your body isn't sin in that sense. It isn't. But you use it, and you have a right. I have a right to use my body. And do you understand what I just said? You can use it. You aren't bound to it. You have to use your body. Yeah, that's why you eat. That's why you drive the car. That's why you go to work. That's why you breathe. Because you're alive. But being alive isn't the same. That's your old nature is alive, but so is your new nature in Christ. And I got to have you close with that. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I hope you see a little bit. Over to chapter 6. Picking up if I may. Thank you for your patience. Chapter 6, the book of Romans. Verse 11, reckon yourself also dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, neither yield your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but on the contrary, your stomach, the digestive system, your eyes, your ears, your nose, they aren't a problem. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, that's what we're doing, unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, unto right instruments of righteousness unto God. So you're looking. It's the same body, same mind, the same mind that can read the book, that can read the words, that understands. It's the same mind. But instead of trusting your old nature, you're taking that same reason in mind and trusting God. That's all. It isn't some trick or something, because otherwise you're doing this. You're reading the Bible and trying to get this to make it work. And your old nature now will make it work. No matter how you cut the cookie, it won't make it work. It just won't work. You say, well, I feel this. I understand that. That's you. I understand this. See, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. That's me. God said it's dead. I gotta quit. Thank you for bearing. Help me get up. Our Father and God, thank you. We're just trying to understand the most awesome, wonderful thing that we can have, your unique, one-of-a-kind relationship in Christ Jesus our Lord, to be able to have that life, to be able to be free to practice it intelligently, simply, and wonderfully. So God, all of it's so simple. We just have to understand and try to get an understanding. So help us, please, even now. Here we are. Spirit of God, thanks a lot. Deal with us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.